person in here right now and they're struggling, Lord, with depression. I call out depression in this place right now and I tell it to go. Lord, I ask you for the peace of God that passes all understanding to begin to come into that heart that is depressed. God, for people that have got family dysfunction, Lord, I plead the blood of Jesus over every family. Lord, let it start with mine in Jesus' name. God, for every hurt feeling, Lord, I ask that you would help us to overlook offenses right now in Jesus' name. God, I thank you for the manna center. God, that was not my idea. And so, God, whatever you order, you pay for. So right now, in Jesus' name, I call that thing fully furnished. I call it fully paid for. I call it blessed. Lord, let that be a place where people come and they hunger and they thirst, not after real food, but God, they hunger and they thirst after you. Lord, for every person that is an intercessor in this church, God, I ask that you would cause them to intercede like never before. In Jesus' name, Lord, right now I give you this service. I tell you, you can have your way in this place. In Jesus' name, amen. I pray that for every person that's been in a fog, that's been under depression, I pray that you had a moment where you felt God. The devil would love for you to feel like you cannot feel God. I'm going to tell you, you can feel God wherever you're at. If you're in a place today where you're down, I'm going to tell you, say, God, I want to feel you right now. If you're in a place where you don't know how you're going to make it, you don't know what you're going to do, maybe you're fighting the biggest battle that you've ever fought, I want to tell you right now that God is close to you, that He is close to you. It is time to be the children of God. I am going to preach my second message on the series, Becoming Better Believers. Last week, we talked about being judgmental. I think I pretty well preached that into the ground, so I'm not going to re-preach it. This week, we are going to preach message number 2 on becoming better believers, what to do when I feel judged. Last week we talked about we don't need to be judging. This week we're going to talk about how do I act and what do I do when I feel that I've been judged. Because most Christians, most humans do not handle that well. It'll put you on the defensive just like that. God has not called you to live your life in the defensive. He said that He would be your defender. You don't have to constantly defend yourself and answer all of your foes. You need to know how to act when you feel like you've been judged. Amen? Now I'm going to ask you again, are you hot? I'm a little warm. Let's turn the fans on a smidge. Now I have a deacon that gets very cold and he doesn't like when he gets cold. We have turned this fan off, Brother Charles, just to accommodate you. So we're going to get the fans turned on. Let's get them turned on over here. I don't like for people to be uncomfortable because here's what happens in church. I've watched it all my life. You'll be trying your darndest to hear what this great pastor up here has got to say. And the devil will put something up in your head like, isn't it hot in here? What am I going to eat when I get out of church? Is she really going to preach till 12? Yes. I know how easily distracted it is when you get up in church. I know all about that. So we're going to speak this morning, and I'm going to minister on what we do when we feel judged. I would like you to turn to Isaiah chapter 42, and we're going to look at verse 3. I believe that there are steps to take in your life that will set you up for success. I'm going to try to give you those steps today. If you're living and you're breathing, you've probably been judged or you will be. You need to learn how to handle that better. You can't afford to show your rear end every time you think that somebody's judging you. Because guess what? That's all you'll be showing. You got to learn to have a thick skin and to let God be God. The first step that I'm going to share with you today, when we feel judged by others, here's something that you need to do. You need to take a step back and you need to examine the situation. You need to take a step back and you need to examine the situation. And here's what you need to ask yourself. Are we really being judged, or are we going through a tough time where we are oversensitive? I'm going to repeat that because it's my job to teach you. And I have to stand before God and I have to be able to do that with clean hands. When you feel like you're being judged, your first step, you need to take a step back from that situation. You need to get back from it. And you need to ask yourself, am I truly being judged, or am I going through a season and a time in my life where I'm oversensitive? How many of you are grown enough and you are mature enough that you can say there are times that my toleration for certain things is not where it should be? Amen. Me too. Me too. There are seasons in our life that we go through that are very hard. And when we go through them, there are times that we are not at our best emotionally. And when we are weary, when we are worn down, there is more of an open area there for Satan to move and get us to feel like we're being judged when we may not be being judged. We may just be oversensitive. There are times where we feel we've been judged and we have not been. We're sensitive. We've got our feelings on our sleeves. And I want to tell you this morning that feelings are not facts. Isaiah chapter 42, verse 3. It describes the person that you're sensitive right now. You're oversensitive. Everything is bothering you. You know, I had a moment with my oldest son 4 or 5 months ago. And you know, I'd like to say adults act better than children, but most of the time we act worse. Because we have perfected the art of manipulation and all sorts of things by the time we get to be adults. And I had a moment with Carson, and I could tell that he was just going through it. And I said, Carson, tell Mama what's going on. And he just put his little head in his hands, and he said, Mom, everything right now is bothering me. There are times that you are going to have where you're going to put your head in your hands and you're going to say, Daddy God, everything right now is bothering me. And Lord, I'm oversensitive and I'm not reacting well. A bruised reed he will not break. Let me tell you something. If you found yourself today as a bruised reed, you're hurting, you're weary, you're going through something, I want to tell you something. A bruised reed, he will not break. There are times where you go through experiences in your life and they break you down. They chip away at who you are. Let me tell you something. For every situation that has chipped away at who you are, God is building you back. And not only is he building you back, but by golly, he will build you back better than you ever thought that you could be built. Whatever part of your heart that's been ripped out and broken, I want to tell you that we still serve a God that is mending every broken place that you could ever have. And the word says that whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord, they're going to be saved. I wish that every believer would begin to call on the name of God, because see, God don't just save you once and give you salvation. God will save you on a daily basis. That's why the word of God says, Lord, give us this day our daily bread. And the world wants to get you all fumbled up to where you can't function, and he wants to break you. And let me tell you something, God is not going to break you down. He is going to build you up. And if you are like a broken reed in this place today and you feel broken, I'm going to ask you to do something. I'm going to ask you to put your feelings to the side and say, God, right now I feel like that bruised reed, but God, in Jesus' name, I'm going to walk towards healing, and I'm going to go with what you've said that you would do. What did he say? I declare I'm going to give you some victory. I'm going to make you the head and not the tail. You are above and not beneath. You are the apple of my eye. Who cares if you feel judged? Well, we do. We even think somebody's judging us a little bit. We got. Oh my gosh, get us in the flesh more than anything else. There are times you are not being judged. There's times where you're oversensitive. The word says, Isaiah chapter 42, verse 3, a bruised reed he will not break, and a smoldering wick he will not snuff out. How many of y'all like candles in here, ladies? I think that they are very relaxing, and I like to have them going. And you know, when a candle gets almost to the end, sometimes it has trouble finishing up to the very last bit, and a smoldering wick he will not snuff out. This is your life. You're not coming back as the groundhog or a butterfly. This is it for you. This is your life. All the more reason to say, you know what, God, I'm not living my best life, and I want to. I want to live my very best life. It says, in faithfulness, he will bring forth justice. Look here. God knows whether you were judged or not. He knows whether you were judged accurately or not, but it doesn't matter the scenario. A bruised reed he will not break. A smoldering wick he will not snuff out. God is not snuffing you out. He's not breaking you. Do you feel snuffed out sometimes? Yes, you do. Do you feel broken sometimes? Yes, you do. There are also times where you're going through a season and you're struggling and your feelers are going to be off. How many of you had COVID? Well, how many of you lost your taste sensation for a while? Well, I pray it comes back to you. But when we go through these seasons, our feelers are off. They're just off. They're not accurate. Why? Because we're not 100%. We're hurting. When you're hurting, when you're struggling, when you're going through something, it's hard. And there's things that you're gonna feel, and they're not accurate. So take that step back. Ask yourself, am I being too sensitive, or am I really being judged? Go with me now to 2 Corinthians chapter 13. We're going to look at verse 5. The second thing that you need to do when you feel like you have been judged, is ask yourself this. Is there any truth to the judgment? Is there any truth to it? How many of you have got critics? If you don't have them, you'll probably get them at some point. I'm not being Debbie Downer. I'm being realistic Pastor K. This is life. This is your life. You need to know what to do. Is there any truth to what's been said? Now, let me tell you something that happens when you've been judged. You get judged. You realize you've been judged. And you get mad about it. Well, then you want to get defensive about it. Well, then you want to gloss over just exactly what was said, because it really don't matter what they said. It matters that they opened their mouth up to begin with, right? We're all humans here. So then what do we want to do? We want to defend ourselves. You might as well just give that up, because you can't bark at every dog that's going to bark at you in your life. You can't answer every critic that you're going to have. Nobody's going to have everything good to say about you all the time. The Bible even talks about this. Woe to you that everyone speaks well of you all the time. Because the moment you want to do something for God and you stand up for God, people are going to criticize you just for making the stand. I have found myself in the middle of situations where I know darn sure that I've been judged. Now, God will take you through a process. How many of you know what a process is? It don't happen overnight. It's a process. I was driving in my car the other day, and I'm learning an art. And it sounds simple, but it is probably one of the most difficult things that I think a human being could ever do, and that's just shut up. Oh, that haunts me. And I think that with me, I think that I've taken it and taken it and taken it and taken it, and I think one day something just snapped in my head, and I said, I'm not taking one more thing. Have you ever been there? Is why I'm teaching on this. It's because, look here, you're going to take that until God says, I'm going to do something about it. And until he does, you've got to know what to do. So I was driving in my car, and I was talking to God about it. And I said, God, I do feel like I've been judged, but Lord, I want to have a conversation with you and me. I do feel like there is some truth to the judgment that was doled out. God, help me to make it right. It hurts, Cherie, when somebody says something truthful about you. It does. We want to get up in our feelings. We want to defend ourselves. We want to whatever. And here's what we know about God. The truth shall set you free. If the truth comes from your worst critic, the biggest jerk in your life, we don't like it. But you know what? A wise person knows how to accept criticism and judgment. And if you want to be dumb, keep on bucking up. You'll get dumber and dumber. You want to be wise, if you want to be successful, when you feel judged, you ask yourself and you ask God and you ask God to help you examine your life and say, God, is there truth in what was said? Lord, is there an ounce of truth? Because God, if there's even an ounce, Lord, help me to make the change. So that is step number two. Is there truth in it? Is there truth? 2 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 5. Examine yourselves. What is wrong with society today? Everybody wants to examine everybody else. That's why we're talking about this to begin with. Judgmental and being judged. Examine yourselves. Examine yourself. Can you examine yourself accurately? Examine yourselves to see whether you are in the faith. Test yourselves. Do you not realize that Christ Jesus is in you? He's inside of you. He's a living, breathing thing up inside of you. And the word says, examine yourself. Examine yourself. Don't worry about Sally Sue or Billy Joe. Examine yourself. There's too many nosy Christians, too many self-righteous Christians that they want to point out everybody else's fault. They want to sit high above everybody else and they want to be judgmental. God gets no glory out of that. It wounds people. It creates broken reeds, which we just read about. And it does not produce the righteousness of Christ in any way, shape, or form. But we would be better if we could realize and know how to act accordingly when we feel like we've been judged. And what I've learned about judgmental people is sometimes they will hit it right on the nail. Sometimes they won't. But you know what? If there's any truth in what they said, you will know it. And you know what? You're not answering to them. Cherie, you are not answering to anybody but God. That's it. I am still learning that today. And it's hard. It's hard to learn that. You want to answer people? You want to defend yourself? You want to say it's not true? You want to say all these things in your defense? You know what? The moment you stop defending yourself, God will come in. He'll help you make changes. He'll help you in your life. And He'll shut every mouth. But is there truth to it? Is there truth? Examine yourselves to see whether you are in the faith. You know, I grew up in the ministry. There are things that I know just because I've been a people observer for 37 years. And here's what people do. Now, don't get mad at me for speaking the truth up here, because look here, that's why God called me. I am not the most smartest person. I am not the most efficient person. I have a lot of flaws. I think that God calls the most flawed people. But what I am is a big mouth, and I'll tell it. And here has been my observation over the 37 years that I've been in ministry and the 37 years I've observed people. When Christians want to do something, and they're hell-bent on doing it, even if it's wrong, every self-righteous, hypocritical Christian, they've got what I call a stamp. They get their stamp out, and when anybody questions them on what they're doing, they'll get out whatever situation that is, and they'll stamp it. Well, God told me to. And they'll use Jesus. Well, I've been a Christian for 30 years. I mean, are you questioning how holy I am? Of course God told me to do it, or I wouldn't be doing it. I don't know about y'all, but I'm pretty high and tired of self-righteous, hypocritical Christians. And most importantly, I've been quite sick of myself because I've been one myself. Why are we preaching about it? Because we need to not be that. Nothing like a good judgment thing. You know what I've thought of more about, Brenda Bay, in the past 6 months under the immense judgment that I've come under? You know what I've thought more than any other resounding thought is, God, who in the heck do I need to go and repent to? Because, see, God, some of this is coming because I've been a judgmental little bitty, and I need to make it right because, see, I'm reaping what I've sowed, God, and I know that I've been judgmental. I've been judgmental of this, and I've been judgmental of that. And so, God, I know that some of this is your correction and your reality. It's like the law of gravity. What's going to come up is going to come down. Whatsoever a man soweth, that is what he's going to reap. Don't judge lest you be judged. However, with the same measure that you dish it out. And so I darn well know that some of the judgment and the criticism that I have come under here lately is because I've judged it out myself. I've measured it out myself. See, I can stand up here today as a woman of God because I can at least keep it real. And that is what most people cannot do. I have been an awful person at times. I've been judgmental at times. I've judged people harshly at times. See, I've been a holier than thou art at times. That's why I'm preaching this today, because that is not going to get anybody saved. It's not going to help anybody. Here's what I began to say, Paul. And I'm a hard-headed, hot-blooded Puerto Rican Italian woman. God, in Jesus' name, thank you for every last ounce of this misery that I'm going through, because, God, I'm going to get this right. I'm going to get it right. And then I'm going to keep it right. Anybody can get something right. It's keeping it right. I can stand up against any pastor and look here, I will tell my business. Why? Because the truth is the only thing that will flat out set you free. That's it. All of this other garbage and how many pews can we fill? Give me a break. However many pews aren't full, that's the one less person that's under my thing that I'm answering for. Now, do I want the church to grow? Absolutely. But I want it to grow a certain way, in the biblical way. Now, God has placed each member in the body as he sees fit. And I want to say that, you know what? Poaching people from other churches, getting them out of the will of God for their life. Oh, come, let's fill a pew. That is not true evangelism. If God's called you here, your butt needs to be here. And no, I'm not a dictator. I like taters. But I'm not a dictator. You're going to grow where you've been planted. And if your little flaky butt ain't planted, that's why you ain't growing. I was in the jail. And you know what? I love to go to the jail. You know why? Because they will keep it real. I said, girls, what kind of a person are you? They raised their hand. Pastor Kelly, I'm just a flake. That was the best news I have heard all week. Thank God for one honest person, Lord Jesus, in Logan County that will just say, I'm a flaky person. Because the truth is, we're all flaky. I'm going to take this moment to put a little ad in there. I've got cornflakes in the back. Because your flaky pastor goes at the crack of dawn and gets you food every Wednesday. Are we all down to earth? Do we all realize we're just people? Okay. Is there any truth to the judgment? Examine yourself and make the necessary changes. Yes, you could make excuses why that person shouldn't be doing or saying, but nonetheless, if you see an area that needs adjustment, make the adjustment. Whatever God reveals, God can heal. If God revealed something in your life through your worst critic, but it was accurate, don't be mad. Why, Kayla? Because all we got to do is fix it. God will use people that we cannot stand. God ever used somebody you can't stand up in your life? You know why? Because you can't stand them. What do we do with people we can't stand? You use them as motivation. That'll be the last time she says that about me, because I'm going to give her nothing to talk about. She said, I didn't look good in horizontal stripes. It is vertical stripes from here on out. Don't get mad at those people. People can say whatever they want to say. You can't control what they're going to say. If they said something true, you know what? Accept it for what it is. Accept it for what it is. Let's go to Ecclesiastes chapter 7. We're going to look at verse 20 through 22. There is not a righteous man on earth who does what is right and never sins. And I want to tell you something. There are some people that have so much pressure on their lives because they're trying so hard to do the right thing. And that's a good thing. You need to continue to do the right thing. You need to continue to try every day to do the right thing. But there is not a righteous man on earth who does what is right and never sins. We don't have it all. We're not perfect. We're going to make mistakes at times. I often think when you make your worst mistakes, you've got your biggest audiences. Look here. Don't let that intimidate you. Let it motivate you. Because God's glory can come out of any situation. The best of the best and the worst of the worst. So take that pressure off of yourself. Some people don't like being judged because what they've been judged on was accurate. And when you feel that way, cut yourself that slack and say, you know what? There is not a person on this planet that's lived and breathed that was perfect. Jesus came and he dwelled among us, and he was the only perfect person that's ever done that. There's so much pressure to appear like we've got it all together. There's so much pressure to act like we've got it all together. And then when we come under judgment or criticism, we just want to just flip plumb out. Well, guess what? Of course you're going to go through judgment and criticism. Christ went through that and he did nothing. I saw a t-shirt the other day and I loved it because I wished I had more of Jesus in me, and I'm trying to get as much of him in me as I possibly can. But there's certain things that he did that were so powerful. And I think that one of the most powerful things that Christ ever did was he let Judas sit at that table. I ain't sitting at my table, Jesus. No. I'm going to kick their butt out. One of the most powerful things that he did was he allowed somebody that said that they loved him to sit at his table and eat, knowing that was the very person going to betray him, going to judge him, going to kiss him on the cheek. And yet, we as Christians have a very low tolerance for any little thing. Any little thing we want to get offended about. Any little thing. If you're somebody that's been saved most of your life, I'm going to encourage you to do this one simplistic thing. Act like it. Act like it. I don't got some big theological bunch of scriptures that I'm going to read off to you because I'm not that type of pastor. I'm just going to tell you, act like you're saved. Don't be bragging to these poor sinners that you've been saved for your whole life and then you're the worst of the worst. Be saved and act saved. When somebody judges you, that's not the end of the world. You're going to have that. So it says, there is not a righteous man on earth who does what is right and never sins. Do not pay attention to every word that people say. When you feel like you have been judged, I'm going to tell you to take this third step. Do not pay attention to every single word that everybody says. Because if you do, that is going to create holes in your armor. That's going to tear you down. In the book of Luke, it says, take heed to yourselves, lest your heart be overcharged. Have you ever had an overcharged battery and it would not hold a charge anymore? That's what happens to people that allow every word to sit and rest on their spirit. There will come a point in time where you have allowed that to happen too much and you will not be able to even hold a normal charge for a person. If you've been through seasons in your life where every little thing just puts you out in the deep end, you're there. And everything's bothering you. How can I preach about it? I'm living it. That's how. And we got to get it worked up out of us, because it's not God's perfect will for our lives to feel beat down all the time. Don't pay attention to every word. Words are powerful. There's times we dwell on words that were spoken to us or over us, and we replay them over and over. How many of you, somebody has said something about you, and you've replayed it in your head over and over and over. And what that does is that keeps that pain still going in your life. It makes it replay it to you over and over in your life. And see, the devil is getting a heyday out of that because he's hurting you all over again. You cannot afford to replay those hurtful things in your mind. You can't afford to do that. Now, I'm going to pull something out of my own life because I can't preach your life. I'm not you. But what I can do is pull things out of my life and I can use them as teaching tools. We don't need to replay things that are said to us, about us, or over us that were negative. You're going to replay pain and re-injure yourself over and over. Several months ago, somebody was talking bad about how I looked. Well, your shorts are too short. Well, you looked awful. Now, let me just tell you something. Melissa, isn't it hard to even watch TV? Because there's half-naked women on TV eating a hamburger, and you're going, is this a lingerie ad, or is this a Hardee's ad? I mean, what are we trying to sell here? I don't think of myself as an overly vain person, but I do take a lot of pride in how I look. And I caught myself dissecting every time that I looked in the mirror, dissecting that. Well, what can I do to make myself prettier? What can I do to make myself look better? What can I do? Now, this sounds silly, but let me tell you something. Teenage girls are killing themselves over this very thing right now. And if more people would just be real with what is actually going on in their life, that's how people really get help. And for months, I replayed that over and over and over in my mind. And what I realized was there wasn't anything that could make me as pretty as what I wanted to be. There wasn't anything that I could do. Went and got double lashes. Went and got them longer. Started watching makeup tutorials. My makeup was awful. My hair was awful. Until one day God just said, Kelly, you're the prettiest pastor in Logan County.
That's right. Amen. Amen.
Hallelujah. Kelly, I'm asking you to let that go. Why? Because, see, there's things God don't want you replaying. They're not going to build you up. They're going to tear you down.
Right.
Another thing. Why are we talking about this? Because I want you to really get it. You're going to be judged. And there's a certain godly thread of activities that you need to take when you've been judged. And we replay those words, and that is the most harmful thing that we would ever do to ourselves, is replay the hurtful words. I remember going through my divorce. Yes, I'm a woman pastor, and I've been divorced, and that was something that I used to be so ashamed of. I could not even go in town, Brother Tommy, and hold my head up because I felt so ashamed. And I remember somebody that had been in my life since I was a little girl. And they said, all you'll ever be is that divorced pastor. You will be walking down the road and somebody will put their window down and they'll point at you and they'll say, well, there goes that divorced pastor. And for, I tell you, probably 6 months, I replayed that in my mind. And Kayla, it affected everything that I did. And I kept going back to God. God, is that really all I'm going to ever be?
No.
And you see, God's got a really great sense of humor because he said, Kelly, when have you ever been walking down the street? Look here, if I'm walking, something's wrong. Why am I talking about this? Because look here, man, there are certain things that are laced with the devil's witchcraft to hit you where it hurts you the most. And when you get that kind of judgment spoken to you or about you or over you, look here, you got one choice. You got two choices. You're going to fall over and die and let what everybody has to say about you just kill you, or you're going to get up and be a big girl or a big boy, and you're going to say, you know what? I'm not going to relive that pain, and I'm not going to just let that filtrate into my spirit where I feel defeated. You got to know how to handle judgment. And look here, God's not sitting there on his high and lofty throne looking for a way to judge everybody and be awful. He's looking for a way to get everybody into heaven. And if he could get all his kids down here to acting right and truly being Christians, he'd have a better time of it. So there's power in our words. It says here, do not pay attention to every word that people say, or you may hear your servant cursing you. Look here, a couple weeks ago, somebody messaged me about somebody in this church. Now, the old Kelly would have been like, oh, I want to know every detail about all the gossip that you're saying. I didn't even respond. Because you know what? I'm in a thing in my life where I am retraining certain people how I'm going to be treated.
Amen.
And I don't want to hear it.
Right.
You got something negative to say about somebody in this church, you need to keep it to yourself unless it's a major ordeal. But I'm not going to hear a bunch of gossip.
Right.
And I did not, that person don't even go to church here, and I did not even respond. You know why? Because I am not going to let the devil have a foothold. Because all it would take is for me to respond, and there we go. Then you got the pastor up in the flesh, got all of this going. Look here, I'm not playing that stupid game where I'm going to let the devil lure me into some argument trying to defend one of my folks. Now, I defend this little person to their death, but look here. At the end of the day, that's not necessary. A soft answer turns away wrath, and in some situations, no answer. No answer. Some people are very miserable in their life, and they want to make you miserable. You don't even need to respond to them. Some of the judging is coming from people that you need to retrain them on how to treat you. Do not pay attention to every word people say, or you may hear your servant cursing you, for you know in your heart that many times you yourself have cursed others. We need to realize that many times we ourselves, that we have done these things also. Go with me now to Ephesians chapter 4. We're going to look at verse 25. I'm going to read down. Therefore, each of you must put off falsehood and speak truthfully to his neighbor, for we are all members of one body. If you're members of one body, we need to stop killing off our own. Christians do that worse than any other group of people that I know. We are all members of one body. Many times in marriage counseling with people, when I find out that the husband's saying mean stuff to the wife and the wife is saying mean stuff to the husband, I think that's the dumbest thing that we could do as married people, because the word says in the book of Genesis, now, she is bone of your bone and flesh of your flesh. And so when you want to get nasty with your spouse and you want to keep on, whatever you're saying to them, you're saying it to yourself. That's why we shouldn't do that. In your anger, do not sin. Look here, when you get angry about being judged, you don't need to be sinning. You don't need to let other people sin make you sin. Do not let the sun go down while you are still angry. And do not give the devil a foothold. The devil is looking for a foothold in your life. He is looking for a place that he can get his big toe through that crack of your life and just come all the way in. That's what he's looking for. Don't let him do that. He who has been stealing must steal no longer, but must work, doing something useful with his own hands, that he may have something to share with those in need. Do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouth. Look here, a lot of times when you've been judged, if you're not careful, what are you going to turn around? You're going to turn around and want to say something bad about that person. Don't repay evil with evil. That's not how you win. You want to win? Shut up. I'm looking for a nicer way to say that, and there isn't one. You want to win? Shut up. It's the hardest thing to do, but by golly, there's so much power in just shutting up. So much power. So much power, and yet so many Christians cannot do it. I have a hard time. I want to defend the heck out of myself, and then I'm like, I can't do that. That's all I'll be doing. But only what is helpful for building others up according to their needs, that it may benefit those who listen. And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, with whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. 31, I want to talk to that person right now. And you've been struggling. Maybe you've felt judged. Maybe you have an offense at somebody that you've had a long time, and that just, it just keeps on. You can be having a perfectly fine day, and you think about that, and you allow that thought to go on in your life, and you are just boiling mad. You're just all back in that time when it happened and it was said. I want to minister to you right now, because, see, there is freedom and power in the Word, because it is living and active. And this part, you need to get down inside of you. If you don't hear another word I say, I want you to give God the next 1 minute of your life. Get rid of all bitterness, rage, and anger. Get rid of it. Get rid of it. Why? Because the devil's using it against you. Get rid of all anger. Get rid of all rage and brawling and anger and slander, along with every form of malice. Be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other just as in Christ forgave you. What do you do with that judged person? You forgive them. You forgive them. You forgive them. Did they judge you? Yeah. The buck is on you now. What do you do with it? You forgive them. I used to think that, now if you don't agree with this, how many of you know you're not going to agree with everything that I think? I may have a way that I believe for the Bible, for my life, and you may not agree with it. That doesn't mean you're up in the wrong church. That just means that you don't agree. Now, in my life, and I can only preach out of it, forgiveness for me, Brother Paul, is a process. I try to work forgiveness in my life. How am I working it, Kayla? There are times, multiple times in a day, where the devil will bring something to the forefront of my mind, and here is what I am doing right now. Dismissing it. Dismissing it. No, I'm not going to think that. The moment that that dumb thought comes up in my head to get me stirred up, I dismiss it. I've been dismissing it. I probably have to dismiss it over 100 times a day, but I've been dismissing it. Do I always succeed in that? No, I don't. But I am succeeding more and more dismissing it. The other day I was driving down the road and the devil tried to get me on that thing again. And I just said out loud, devil, we're not going to go there today. I'm not going to do that today. Dismiss it. Dismiss that. And get rid of all that stuff that's inside of you. See, where there's peace, disruption cannot coexist in that heart of peace. Am I saying that it's all roses? No, but there's a place of peace if you'll let God give that to you. But you can't have both. You're going to pick peace or you're going to pick drama. And you're going to pick. It's a choice. Pick peace. Be imitators of God, therefore, as dearly loved children, and live a life of love just as Christ loved us and gave himself up as a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God. Let's turn now to James chapter 1. We're going to look at verse 19. I'm going to read down to verse 23. We're talking about what do we do when we've been judged. My dear brothers, take note of this. Everyone should be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to become angry. For man's anger does not bring about the righteous life that God desires. You are either going to have a righteous, blessed life, or you are going to have a petty, dramatic-filled disaster. It does not bring about the righteous life that God desires. See, God has a desire for how your life needs to go. He desires good things for your life. He desires the course of our life to go a certain way. It's up to you to allow him to work or not work in your life. But he has a certain desire for you, just specifically for you. Therefore, here we see again, get rid of all moral filth and the evil that is so prevalent, and humbly accept the word planted in you, which can save you. Do not merely listen to the word and so deceive yourselves. Do what it says. Do what it says. When you've come under judgment, you got to still do what the word says. When people have been unfair to you, when they've said things that weren't true about you, you still have to be a doer of the word. You still have to be that person that you can be. Be a doer. What would Jesus do if he was being judged? Well, we have a very clear picture of that because he came down and he lived with that. He knew people would not accept him. He knew people were talking about him. He knew the Pharisees were trying to set him up all the time. What did he do? He went around and he was the very best version of what he came down here to do. You are here. You are brought. You were birthed for a purpose. Nobody's going to ever quite fulfill that purpose for your life if you decide not to. Last place for me this morning, Proverbs chapter 4. We're going to look at verse 23. My last step for you this morning. We're talking about, what do I do when I feel like I've been judged? Now, next week, we're going to talk about gossiping. Because, see, we're going to get some things right. I'm trying to help you know which services you want to skip. It was never a famous one, was it, Dad? I'm going to know who all the gossipers are because y'all will be the ones skipping. Now, if you can't take a joke up in this church, you're going to have a hard time being up in here. Because we don't serve an uptight God. God wants you to enjoy your life. He wants you to enjoy your life. He wants you to love being His. Love the breath that you take. Proverbs chapter 4, verse 23. What do I do when I feel judged? What do I do when I feel judged? Above all else, the most important thing, above all else, guard your heart. Guard your heart. Guard your heart. I don't know about y'all, but I've gone through a season, and I'm fighting tooth and nail to get up out of it, Miss Rita. But I've gone through a season where I did a bad job at guarding my heart, and it has eaten my lunch. It has made me miserable. It has hurt me. It has made me feel defeated. It has affected every part of who I am. And so what's good for the goose is good for the gander. What's good for the pastor is good for the congregation. Above all else, guard your heart. Guard it. Don't let that filth and those words replay in your mind. Don't let that judgment affect who you are. When God made you, He did not regret you. He made you and He filled you full of purpose. Stop letting those words rest on your soul. For it is the wellspring of life. Put away perversity from your mouth. You know, it's perverted to sit there and continually talk and judge other people. Put away perversity from your mouth. Keep correct talk far from your lips. 25, let your eyes look straight ahead. What do I do when I feel judged, Pastor? Look straight ahead. Stop looking at Sally Sue, who said it. Look ahead. Look ahead. Because, see, look here, you got success ahead of you. Look ahead. Don't stop and slow down to hear the naysayers. Don't stop and let that judgment come and seep through and make you feel less than. That's what you do. Fix your eyes and look straight ahead. Fix your gaze directly before you. Verse 26, make level paths for your feet and take only ways that are firm. Why do we have so much mental illness and stress and depression and anxiety? Because in our thinking, we have taken ways that are not firm. Is it a firm place for you to walk when you're sitting there dwelling on what everybody has said negative about you? No, that's not a great way for you to constantly think. What is that going to create over time? A beat down person. Take only ways that are firm. Firm. Just like you wouldn't go up to quicksand and go step in it, don't step in the nasty mess that people have said about you. If there's truth to it, soak up the truth and say, I'm going to change, bless God, and move on. But you can't afford to stop and sit there and dwell on everything somebody has said about you. That's all we do sometimes. Do not swerve to the left or the right. Keep your foot from evil. What do I do when I feel judged? I've got 2 minutes and I'm going to use it. I only preach once a week and I'm going to use all my time, thank you. I want to speak to that person that you are having a hard time. You are in a place in your life where you have felt judged and you are trying to get up out of that. But there are times where your mind just goes to that place and you're struggling. I want to ask you to stand up because, see, God is going to meet you right where you're at. But, see, the word was meant to be put out there. You have to activate it for your life. I can't make you grow. I can't make you do anything. All I can do is what God has said. There have been things that have been said over y'all. You've felt judged. And look here, you can't live in other people's thoughts about you. And many times I will pray over you, but today this is a prayer that you need to pray over yourself. Repeat after me, and I am saying it first and foremost. Lord God, in Jesus' name, put your hand over your head. Everybody, if you're in your Facebook right now, you need to get your hand over your head, because you know what? You can't put your hand on anybody and pray for them until you've prayed the deliverance over yourself. Lord, in Jesus' name, we plead the blood of Jesus over our mind right now. And God, we ask you to take away every ounce, every remnant of judgment spoken over us. Lord, we receive a clean slate. Lord, right now, I forgive and will continue to forgive the people that have hurt me. In Jesus' name, amen. I'm very